Our scripture reading this morning is 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. Let us hear God's word. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives him and he in God. So we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we come before you now asking that you would put your blessing upon the ministry of the word, that you would be pleased, Heavenly Father, to glorify Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. When we go to a play or a theatrical performance, the stage is set with props and decorated in such a way as to add understanding to what we are seeing. Now, if you went to a play of Romeo and Juliet and the backdrop was decorated like a football field, you would think that was quite strange. You wouldn't understand. But if the setting was a garden and a balcony, then you can follow right along. Well, it is with this understanding that the Apostle John speaks to us. He gives us this background. He sets the stage for what he is about to say. He says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we claim we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar. Like a painted and decorated backdrop to a Shakespearean play, John sets the mood for what is about to happen. John sets the stage of this real life drama with the background of the sinfulness of the human heart. John opens the curtains for us, and we hear the overture of John that reminds us we are all sinners. But the bad news of the human heart is not the main character, is not the main actor. Instead, it is the good news of the heart of God. Jesus Christ is the hero in this play. Might not have happened to you, but I can speak from experience. As a child, if you get called to the principal's office, there's fear and dread as you walk down that hallway. And all you can think of is, woe is me. But then when you get there, you find out that it is not something bad that's about to happen, but something good. After the announcement, after John's announcement of the sinful heart, we expect judgment. We expect bad news. But quite unexpectedly, We're not introduced to the God of wrath, but we're told about the God of love. We are told that if we do sin, and we do, there is a way of love that is opened up for us. The scripture says God is love. If you were to ask a guilty rebel, a guilty criminal who had been already condemned to die, if you were to ask that criminal, do you have any hope of being saved from death? The only thing that that criminal could say would be, unless the governor shows me mercy, then all is lost. There could not be any better news for sinners than the news that Jesus Christ has died for us. That our King has not pronounced our death warrant, but has in fact pronounced our salvation. God demonstrates His goodwill to sinners. He lets the rain fall upon the righteous and the unrighteous. God demonstrates His patience with the guilty, because He doesn't immediately cast them into hell. But as one would use a telescope to focus on a major planet, the telescope of the scriptures helps us to focus upon the love of Christ, the love of the Father, and the love of the Holy Spirit. John says that love is displayed in the action of God, in what God did. True love is always seen in what is done. Not necessarily in how one feels, but true love is seen in what one does. And God's love is directed to us by God the Father, giving God the Son up for us. The Apostle John says, this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. John 3:16, God gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the Apostle Paul agrees with this. God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still under the wrath of God, God did something to alleviate that wrath. What did He do? He sent His beloved Son to die for us, to be an atoning sacrifice for us. While we were still sinners, while we were still rebelling, while we were still powerless, Christ died for us. This is how God demonstrates His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Thus, it was through Christ that the grace and the love of God for sinners is made known. It is only in Christ, that the love of God can be understood. In this love of God to us through Christ, God the Father pledges His fidelity, His honor, His goodwill towards us for eternity. He calls sinners out from their sins and says, I will be your God and you will be my people. In our day, it would be understood to mean that I will be your husband and you will be my bride, like the prophet Hosea was willing to take his wife back to him after she had been a harlot. God, through Christ, betroths Himself to us. He takes us back after our life of sin. He promises to honor you, protect you, provide for you. He justifies you. He removes your sin from you. He sanctifies you. He teaches you to walk in love to Him. And in one day, He will glorify us. And to demonstrate the length to which He is willing to marry us, God the Son actually became one of us, yet was without sin. He who was rich for our sakes became poor. He who was full of glory for ourselves set aside His glory. The Son of God became the Son of Man. He took upon Himself flesh and blood. He marries our nature and thus becomes like us. The scriptures say, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. You know what that means? When Moses and Israel were at the base of the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, and the mountain was ablaze with fire, and the earth was shaking, and lightning bolts were going everywhere, it means that the God of the mountain, the fire on the mountain, the earthquake, the lightning, has dressed Himself in our flesh and blood so that He may dwell with us. The fire that was in the tent of meeting has become human. The fire that was in the temple in Jerusalem has become flesh and blood. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. The writer to the Hebrews says, since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. For surely it was Abraham's descendants that He helped. God is clothed in our flesh, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. And it is a wonderful thing. It is beyond belief that God Himself, because He loved us so, should give up His glory and adorn Himself in our flesh. The scriptures tell us at the birth of Christ that the angels sang, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. From the very first day, the announcement from heaven about the display of God's love in Christ is inseparably connected to forgiving sinners. Because the scriptures say, a Savior has been born to you. He has come from the Father, full of grace and truth. He has come to bring the love of God the Father to us. By His sacrifice, our sins are forgiven. We are reconciled to the Father, and we are in the process of being remade into the beautiful bride of God. Paul, there in Ephesians, talks about the height and the width and the depth and the length of the love of God. Think about this, that God's love is so high. God's love is so high that even the angels soaring with the best of their abilities cannot soar over the height of God's love. The love of God is so wide that God could embrace an infinite number of universes and galaxies and still have room for another infinite number of worlds and galaxies. Not only is the love of God so deep that it goes from heaven to earth, but the love of God is so deep that it goes from heaven all the way to hell to rescue us from being under the power of the evil one. God shows His love to us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And this is why we are here today. We gather on this day, this holy day. Every Sabbath is a holy day. We gather on this holy day to thank God, to praise God, to worship Him because of the great love that He has shown to us. It is because of His incarnation, His obedience and death, that we have been given access to the love of God. God loves us. How can that be? How can that be? It can be because Christ took our flesh, lived perfectly, obeying the Word of God, keeping the commands of God perfectly, sinlessly, but then dying for us. His righteousness is given to us. Our unrighteousness is laid upon Him. Oh, what love is this, that we should be the objects of love. God is so holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Yet He loves us. He keeps us. He protects us. He provides for us. Never question what the Scriptures have to say, that God is love. No matter what you go through, no matter how you worry or you're anxious about something or you're sad about something, never question the love of God to you through Jesus Christ. For He has determined our lives. He has determined our number of days. All of our days are numbered, even before the first one came into existence. And His love saturates us each day, each moment. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Oh, my friends, let this love humble you. Let this love encourage you. Let this love give you hope in all things. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You that even while we were still sinners, You loved us. Oh, Heavenly Father, work in us that we may love You. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us close our worship this morning.